From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session from afar. My guest today, earlier this year, released a record called Over That Road I'm Bound on None Such Records, Joachim Cooter. Hello, sir. Welcome.
Hello, Eric. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. I want to talk a little bit as we get started here about your background, because while your albums really only started to hit the scene in about 2015 with Love on a Real Train, Fuchsia, Machu Picchu in 2018, you have been in music for a very long time and on some records that we know going back in our history, including one that did fairly well, as I recall, the Buena Vista Social Club record.
Yes. Yeah, Buena Vista was, we made that record in 1996. So I was, I think I was a senior. Yeah, I was a senior in high school.
Wow.
Quite an accidental, you know, that whole thing was never intended to be what it turned out to be. The idea that Nick Gold, who has World Circuit Records, his idea was to get these West Africans to go to Cuba, and then there'd be some sort of meet, you know, find the roots of Cuban music from the West African music and do this whole thing. And my dad and Nick Gold had a relationship because of Talking Timbuktu, the Ali Farka Touré record. But on the day we showed up in Cuba, we found out the West Africans didn't get their visas. And then, so it became this whole scramble to try and, you know, find people to make a record with. And then this historical thing happened.
You made magic.
Yeah.
You made magic. Just as a point of reference here, as we continue on, your father being Ry Cooter.
Yes.
Has been involved in many, many wonderful music projects over the years. If I understand right, you are actually kind of late to the singing and music writing world. You were primarily just a performer. And I say just, and I don't mean it disparagingly, but you were a performer, not a singer, not a songwriter.
Absolutely. I never in my wildest dreams ever would have seen myself singing my own songs, writing my own songs. It never occurred to me.
Why?
I don't know. I think I grew up being a drummer and a percussionist and an accompanist, which I think I saw myself. You know, I've always lived in Los Angeles. I think there's something about growing up and living in one place your whole life. You kind of see yourself in the way you sort of don't break out of a certain thing. And two large things happened simultaneously. One is I became a dad.
Congratulations.
And, thank you. And that blew everything like wide open. And then when my wife was pregnant, the two of us went to Nashville for a long time. And there was something about being in a different town. Also, it's such a musical place. It's kind of like going to music camp, you know, like everybody's just doing music stuff right and left. And I think I just started every morning. I had this little routine, and it was like lightly snowing. And of course it doesn't snow in LA. So there was this, everything was just different and something happened. And I just started singing, it like was always there. And that's how Fuchsia Machu Picchu started. Hmm.
I know a lot of drummers as they transition, and percussionists as they transition to something that is more melodic, kind of go the route of like a vibraphone or something. Like I'm thinking of classics like Lionel Hampton, the great jazz vibraphonist, was that also a great drummer. Your instrument, at least nowadays, of choice is an mbira, a thumb piano, but not just like the little one that you would buy at like a tchotchkes from around the world shop.
Yeah.
You have what's called an array mbira.
Yeah.
Try to describe it for people who are listening on the radio of what it is.
Okay. Well, I kind of say like if you take the tchotchke around the world shop version.
And this, is the, And this is the little gourd, you know, for folks who don't know imbira, thumb piano. It's like a little round gourd or square gourd that has metal tines on it that you sort of flick with your thumb, and they're all tuned to a specific note, and that's how you play it. It's kind of a like one octave, pretty much, most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is... I always say, like, this is the spaceship version of that. It's it's solid body, so it's electric.
Okay.
And it's, I don't know, 3 feet long, and it goes up in fifths and goes down an octave. So it's like this big spread of tines. And I know that's
how did you find it and make the decision that that was going to be your focus?
Well, it's been my focus for a really long, I mean, I would say over 20 years ago, we found the acoustic version of it. And it was almost like a prototype that this incredible instrument builder named Bill Wesley, he had built it. And we happened upon it because I feel like once you start going down the road of finding odd instruments, it leads you to another instrument builder. And then it's like, so I don't remember where we came across this, but my dad has this huge, he calls it the floor slide. It's basically like a giant table with strings on them. And he runs like a flower vase. It's like this big, low, drony floor slide. And through the floor slide guy, we found the imbira guy.
Okay.
And the imbira guy, that was where I said, now, wait a minute, this is my thing. And I've played it on film scores and recordings, but I could never play it live because it was acoustic and you can't jam a mic up to it or on it or contact mic in a big live setting. It's just, it'll just feed back and all this stuff. So then about 5 years ago, I don't know what I was doing or how I came across it, but I saw that Bill had been making solid body electric stereo versions of it. And that's what I brought to Nashville that time, with a little guitar amp. And that changed everything for me because then I could play a show. I could get up and I don't play guitar. That was never in the, I never could understand it, or I never really wanted to. It just didn't speak to me the way other things did. And this was my way to write and sing my own songs. Hmm.
In my brain, I have a tremendously well-developed segue here, and I'm sure that it's not going to come out anywhere near as well as I'd hoped. To transition from talking about imbira and its roots in Africa to banjo and its roots in Africa, which connects directly to this new record because of the songwriter whose music you are using.
It's a great segue. It's a great segue.
I did my best. I would love to hear a tune, and then we'll talk more in depth about the guy who seeded all of the songs for this record. Joachim Cooter is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. The record is called Over That Road I'm Bound, out on Nonesuch Records. JoachimCooter.com is his web address. As it happens, you've got a nice home studio and have recorded some beautiful songs for us that I can't wait to share. What do you want to start with?
Well, I think we should start with Morning Blues, because that's the very first song of Uncle Dave's I heard when I was very young, probably around 5 years old. My dad played a lot of banjo around the house. And just a few years ago, I was taking my kids to visit my parents, and I heard him playing this song for them on the banjo in that same chair. And I called from I was in the kitchen. I said, wait a minute, what's that song? And he said, Morning Blues by Uncle Dave Makin. You used to love that one. And it all sort of came back to me. And that's what put me on this journey of learning Uncle Dave Makin tunes. So let's hear that one.
All right. This is Joachim Cooter on JPR Live Sessions. Thank you.
weeks and I've been in love. Used to fly high like a turtle dove. Had the blues many a time. Just a woman on a poor man's mind. I got the morning blues. Oh, so bad. I said, honey, come and kiss me. It's the worst I ever had.
That is called Morning Blues, music of Uncle Dave Makin, or at least lyrics of Uncle Dave Makin. It's so vastly different than the kind of stuff you will find if you look him up on YouTube. Joaquim Cooter is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. His new record is called Over That Road I'm Bound. Thanks for sharing. That is fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Eric.
You are not alone. Who else is playing with you on that?
This is just me and my dad. Yeah, we set up in our living room in our new house and just, you know, played a few of these tunes. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so you've mentioned Uncle Dave. I know a lot of folks that are listening are going to have no frame of reference for who Uncle Dave is. So tell a little bit about who he was and how you discovered him and his music.
He was born in the late 1800s. And he was a plow farmer, basically, by trade. Grew up in Tennessee. And he collected music that would have been the popular music of the time, which would have been minstrel music, medicine show, blues, folk music, comedy stuff. He had a lot of like funny elements to it, songs about food and like biscuits and skillets. he was also an incredible banjo player. And he, and a great showman, he would swing his banjo back and forth and do all this stuff. And he didn't become famous until he was in his 60s and repopularized all that music from the 1800s, essentially, for a new generation in, I don't know, in the 20s, and became considered the first superstar of the Grand Ole Opry. And he went around collecting songs and lyrics, and he would borrow, you know, a couple lines from here or something he learned over there. And so a lot of these songs that they say are his are not all quite his. It's all this kind of this assemblage, like stuff he's taken from all over the place. And kept a lot of this music alive too. I think there's a lot of music that would have been lost to time and obscurity had he not, you know, recycled them all those years later.
Yeah. And so your connection to them is because of your dad's knowledge of them. Is that right? That he shared them when you were little?
Yeah. I heard Morning Blues and was very taken by it for whatever reason. And when I heard my dad playing it again, you know, all these years later, I think I just thought, wait a minute, it would be perfect on the Imbira, because I sort of slow everything down and get into this little meditative state. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't have set out and thought, I'm going to take Uncle Dave Macon songs and and make them all trancy and vibey. It was an accidental thing, because I just happened to be sitting there hearing him play it for my kids. And then I grab my Imbira and start doing my little thing where it changes it, like it reharmonizes everything in a way and puts it into this state of like a lullaby almost.
I know that there is another person who is core to this project. I want to save it as a bit of a surprise reveal. Joachim Cooter is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. The new record is called Over That Road I'm Bound. It's a collection of songs originally from the catalog of Uncle Dave Macon. JoachimCooter.com is the website. Will you share another song with us?
Yeah. Let's do Come Along Buddy, the first song I recorded for the record. And that kind of set the stage for how everything was going to go.
And if I understand right from what I was reading online, Macon never recorded or released this tune. It's associated with him, but he never made a recording of it.
Oh, interesting. That's something I did not know. for the first time, Come Along Buddy, recorded for you.
I love it. I love it. This is Joachim Cooter on JPR Live Sessions.
Thank you.
That is Come Along Buddy, played live for us today by Joaquin Cooter and friends from Over That Road I'm Bound, the new album out on Nonesuch Records, joaquincooter.com. Some additional players on that one that I'm hearing.
Well, this one, this is still just my dad and I.
There's a lot going on for it to just be the two of you.
Well, the thing is the Imbira, what I like to do is kind of come up with ways of coloring it and making it and spicing it up. So I kind of layer, maybe I'll loop it. It's always different every time. I mean, that's the fun thing about this, doing these songs, is you kind of just start this thing and you think, what will I do now, this show? And it all comes out differently with these extra little tricks.
Man, it sounds great. So before the tune, before Come Along Buddy, I mentioned that there was another core person involved in this project and without whom this project might not exist. That's your daughter.
Yes, right. I actually was waiting to hear who it was going to be you were going to mention. Yes, she's my daughter, Paloma, I credit.
And she's how old now?
She's 5 now.
5, okay.
When this was all shaping up, she was probably 3. She was in preschool, and every morning she wanted to hear, it was Uncle Dave from the beginning till the end, like every day. It started and ended with Uncle Dave.
It's better than Barney songs, I suppose.
Oh yeah, I try to keep all that away. Because at some point, like the floodgate of Disney and other things will overpower me and there'll be nothing I can do about it. But until
nothing but
then,
frozen every day.
Yeah. She doesn't, she knows that there's somebody named Elsa, but she doesn't know quite what it is all about. And she's heard none of those songs. So, I mean, I'm doing what I can do at this point to keep it away. But she became just this Uncle Dave fanatic, and it was a certain order of songs she wanted to listen to. Before she would eat her breakfast, it had to be this one song, and then it had to be then the next song. And I could never deviate from that order. I had this big box set called Keep My Skillet Good and Greasy. It's like this 12 disc Uncle Dave thing. And she would only listen to disc 5. Had to be disc 5. And she was right, too, because the other ones just weren't as good. I don't know how she figured that out so fast, but it was true. And so basically, by the end of this process of playing her these songs day in and day out, I had learned, I thought, I may as well just start recording these because I know them now. And then I would, rewrite lyrics with her or for her, kind of, like for Come Along Buddy, I would change a little thing. Because sometimes Uncle Dave was singing about stuff that was so esoteric or just not where I thought, you know what, here I'm just going to pull out what he's saying and talk about when my daughter, rode a steam train up in Felton above Santa Cruz. Just little things like that. And then she would like that I would be singing about her and nobody else would know that that was our little inside thing. So it became like a little fun project.
They almost can sound, if you're not really listening, almost lullaby-ish in how relaxing. I mean, you reference them as being very meditative, and the sound of the Imbira certainly accomplishes that. But they're almost lullabies. They're somewhat simplistic and memorable and easy to kind of hum along with.
I think, that's two things. That's the beauty of his songs, which have these just really catchy melodies that they just get stuck in your head, I feel. And then if you treat them with this kind of softness, this gentle quality, it becomes very universal. Like everybody can just, it's just very inclusive. That's the word that keeps coming into my mind about the Imbira. It's like, come one, come all and enjoy the Imbira. And that comes from not being a chromatic instrument. There's no like hierarchy of right or wrong notes. It's very much just how you approach it.
Interesting.
And that that's what lends itself to feeling so kind of worldy without being, you know, it's just very, it's like abstract world sound, which just does what it does.
Well, to your credit, your record can't possibly sound like anybody but Joaquin Cooter.
Oh, thank you.
It's a beautiful collection of tunes. I'm grateful that we've got a copy and that you had time to join us today for this. Thanks a lot.
Well, Eric, thank you so much for having me.
The new record is called Over That Road I'm Bound, out on Nonesuch Records. JoaquinCooter.com is his website. Will you share one more tune with us?
Yeah. Let's hear Molly Married a Traveling Man. This was this first song on disc 5 of the this was the song that
this is disc 5, yeah.
This is disc 5. This is what my daughter would insist on listening to before the plate of breakfast would land on her table. I had to put on Molly Married a Traveling Man.
All right. Let's hear it.
Telling you, do remember Molly's made a traveling man.
Well, she's got pretty good taste. Paloma's got great taste. That is Molly Married a Traveling Man, the morning breakfast song, apparently, from disc 5. It's also heard on the new record called Over That Road I'm Bound of Joaquim Cooter, my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. JoaquimCooter.com is the website. Joaquim, thanks again for doing this, man. It's been a great pleasure.
Thank you, Eric. I hope that, you know, at some point I can make it up to your neck of the woods.
Please do. You're not all that far away, and hopefully we'll be able to string together some actual touring dates for musicians like you once all of this passes.
Yes, I hope so.